Today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is being learned live from the hills of Ramat Beit Shemesh. And that's where we'll be learning from through Bein Hazmanim. But of course, this will be going to our Shtark Yidin living in Mevaseret today, as well as all the great Yomi guys back in the States. Here we are. We are in the middle of Tafrei Shiv Dalid, and we are up Shiv Dalid. Mutar kol adam linol sandal machmas akrav v'chayotze bo kidei shelo yishchenu. You're allowed to wear shoes if there are, let's say, scorpions, and there's a concern that they will possibly bite your feet. Again, in those days, they would, let's say, not put on shoes on Yom Kippur, and you'd be in, let's say, your socks or slippers, cloth, whatever, and the scorpions might bite your feet. So, if there are these akravim that are there, and they can go ahead and bite you and be mazik you, then you can put on shoes. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sifkat Yudalef, no sandal machbas akrav, v'afilu eino holeich bar mitzvah el tzarchei atzmo. This is even if he is not going for purposes of mitzvah. He's walking for his own needs. It's still going to be okay because he's putting it on for protection purposes. Continuing on now in the Ramah, in Yardu Gishamim, what happens if a guy, he is not wearing his good shoes, he's wearing his socks, and that's all he has, and it's Yom Kippur, and it's raining, the road set, Leilech with Beis, so Beis Knesset, so he wants to walk home from Shul, and he's going to now be walking in the mud. Ola Hefech. He's walking to his home from shul, or to shul from home, v'hu istinis, and he is someone who's a little fragile. We'll see what this means. He's delicate. Mutulin ol minalav ad shemagilim komo. He can wear his shoes until he gets to where he has to go. Sifkat on yudbeis, v'hu istinis, ish mitzunan. Here it's referring to someone whose body is delicate and he gets cold. He's a or if he's weak, and it could be bad for his health if he goes, if he's walking in places where it's wet, below Minolim. However, if you're not someone who is an istinus and you can handle it, then you can't just wear shoes in Sarach Lelech if you have to go walk. I feel in Yodok Shaman, even if it's raining. But this is obviously talking about where you have some type of socks or some type of protection on your feet. There's not going to be so much sar if you're not wearing regular leather shoes. Unless, of course, it's mamish muddy. Then if it's muddy and you're going to be walking in mud, then everyone is an istinus legabe mud. So in other words, what he's saying is like this. If you're just a little wet and you can handle it, just, not as great, then you should walk through it. Okay? If you have some type of protection with it. Unless, of course, you're going to get, your feet are going to get too cold or whatever. Okay? If, however, it's the time of Gishamim and it's also muddy and things like that, then everyone is like an istinus about that, and you have a heter if it's muddy out to wear shoes. Okay? Obviously, if we have a scenario where you have nowadays sneakers or Crocs or some type of shoe that's not leather, that would obviously be ideal b'zman hazeh, and that's what I'm sure most poskim would tell you today. Today we have non-leather shoes, and even though there are those that are machmir, okay, to go with socks or slippers or things like that, obviously in this type of scenario, better than wearing a leather shoe, wear a sneaker that's not leather or something like that, or they now have these non-leather nice shoes we can go ahead and wear. Okay? Again, we saw yesterday that if you could wear a slipper or socks and things like that, that's like the ideal. Although we don't go ahead and object, you know, to a person who's following Rov Poskim that are wearing shoes but that are not leather. As long as the shoes are not leather, you're okay, me'ikir adin. Let's move vector. You give them mutter linol. So you're allowed to go ahead and wear these shoes until you get to your place. Same thing as if you want to go, you have to go to the bathroom. And you know that you're going to what? You're going to get your feet all ichy if you're walking in, you know, in those days, the Beis HaKisei, even today, in some places, if you go, let's say, you know, to some bathroom, public bathroom, where the floors are not clean, so to not wear a shoe could be a problem. And if all you have is a leather shoe, and the other option is socks or things like that, or barefoot, you know, so then, of course, it would be okay, rather than walking in a dirty bathroom floor, which obviously has all types of unhealthy stuff on the floor, so you'd be able to wear shoes. Again, once again, you could wear a sneaker, and that would, you know, solve the problem. But once again, assuming you're wearing a leather shoe because of this, that's all you got, as soon as you leave the bathroom or whatever place you're going with them, you take them off. Same thing with an istinus. Same thing with an istinus. True, you're wearing it on the way to shul, but once you don't need it, once you get to shul, once you get home, you got to take them off. The sandal, not like those who were walking in this with a sandal in the street, and then they go into the shul, keeping on wearing them, until they go sit down. It's a big issue. As soon as you get to the inside the shul, you got to take them off. And even in a place where it's permitted to wear the shoe, it appears to him that what you should do is to make some type of shinui, wearing your left shoe on your right foot and your right shoe on your left foot. Okay, this is what the Shlah writes. It's brought down the Magen Avraham, and there's actually a Gemara that sort of alludes to this as well in Tainus Yud Beis on the Beis Ayin Sham. So you can, again, you can wear the shoes until you get to this place under these circumstances where let's say you're an istinus and you're walking in the wet. You shouldn't touch them unless you know, have some type of beged in your hand, some type of cloth in your hand. And if you touch the shoes, then you're going to have to go ahead and wash your hands in the place that you touch them. Again, this is purely for Nikias purposes. So then you go ahead and you wash off that area on your hand that you went ahead and touched the shoe. Sit katan test vav until you get to the place in Tomo. Yishlechem lebeso, and then you can send them back to your home. Oh, yenicham b'makom mutzna b'rekneses, or leave them in a nice, secure, safe place in the shul. You should put him in a place, not out there in front of the shul, or in the shul, chas v'shalom, where everyone is going to walk past it, because obviously in the shul, it's a big zilzal to the shul, especially in those days. It sounds like you walk straight from the street into the shul. So you can walk right into the shul, where you're dominating, you're going to have the shoes there. That's obviously a big zilzal to the shul, the Yom Kodesh Hazeh. It's obviously denigrating to the shul to have these dirty shoes hanging out in the shul on this great Yom Kadosh, where you have Yechayev, the Chabdo, Biksus Nakia, where you Chayev to be Mechabited with a nice, clean, spiffy suits, the Kavod Yom Kippur, Uvchol Davar Tahara. You have to be Mechabited with clothes, clean clothes, and all types of Tahor practices and things like that, and to go ahead and to take your dirty shoes off and plop them in the shul with everybody to walk. That's and see in the shul. That's obviously not kavod. Kassel achronim in tzarech elech the bein anachrim. The achronim write that if you need to go and walk together with the non Jews, afal pikein usher l'nol sandal. It's still going to be usher to go ahead and wear shoes. Af t'ika l'mecha shi'aligo alav. Even though you're concerned that they might mock you for not wearing shoes. Since there are those that hold that the other isurim, such as nila chasandal, pasramita, sicha, are d'oraisa, so there would be no heter like you would have. We had that we saw brought up by Tisha B'Av. There was a whole issue in terms of possibly taking them off on Tisha B'Av, because people might mock you. Okay, that was a whole to-do back there. Ayin Shom. We are now up to Siman Tuf Resh Tes Vav. Yom HaKippurim Asurim Asur B'Tashmish Hamita. So marital relations is Asur on Yom Kippur. Aleph, Yom HaKippurim Asur B'Tashmish Hamita. Yom HaKippurim is prohibited marital relations. But Asur Ligat B'Ishto K'ilu Hinida. You have to treat the wife like she's Anida. B'Chein Asur Lishon Im Ishto B'Amita. And also, it is Asur to go ahead and to sleep with one wife in the same bed. Tif katan aleph v'asa ligah b'ishto bein b'layla bein b'yom, whether by night or by day. V'gam lo yarbe ima b'dvarim. Also, you should not go ahead and talk. You know, have excessive schmoozes with your wife on Yom Kippur. That's not the time for it, because it chas v'shalom might lead to cohabitation, which is aser. And all the things that are brought up there in Yerideya Legabe, a woman who is a Nida, you have to keep all the harchakos of a Nida. Also, you should hold those harchakos that you have to go ahead and be noyheg during the time when your wife is a Nida. So you have to be noyheg that way, and you have to behave that way with your wife this way on Yom Kippur as well. Okay? We are up to now Sif Beis. Harawa Keri Bilela Yom HaKippurim Yidda Kol HaShana. The concern that if you see Keri on Yom Kippur, right, if you emit semen on Yom Kippur, a person should have some type of pachad all year. It's a bad semen. Then also lo, right, Shana Muftach lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. And if he's able to make it through the year, he will be what? He will be zoche to Olam Haba. There's like a guarantee. What's this all about? What's he talking about? Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Yidag Kol Hashana Shema lo Kiblu Tainiso. If this happens that he saw Keri on Yom HaKippur, maybe it's a sign that his tainis was not accepted. Shemarim lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Chafetz B'Shi Mushav. And it's like Hashem is showing him that he doesn't want his service. V'ayein l'achron shekasnu d'davka t'shalo yamachas rov achila ushtia u'machas hiru u'kadoma. He says, this is, the achronim right, this is if this stam happens, and it wasn't based on anything he did, like eating foods that will make one have keri, or he wasn't, you know, reading the things, or he was scrolling things on the internet the day before that he shouldn't have been. There was no other trigger for this, for these thoughts to bring on the keri. And if you know that it is based on some type of hirur, that you've been thinking about women and things like that by day, and similar to that, after gadol avono, even though you sinned greatly because you weren't properly shomer your enayim, mikol makom ein despite misa ki hu ba'atzmo garam lo. This is not what we're talking about here. We have a suffix that maybe you're going to die, and that your Yom Kippur was not mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'cheinim also lo shana, and the same thing on the other spectrum. If you make it through the year, eino muftach shu ben olam haba, then you're not going to be muftach and you're ben olam haba because you did something wrong. In other words, it goes both ways. There's, if it just stam, the keri happens, and it happens out of nowhere, you did nothing wrong. It just happens at night, so you have to be concerned. Again, chances are, if it happened, it's probably because you didn't take the right precautions with your enayim, with your eyes, or it might be connected up to what you ate, or you might have slept in a way that caused this to happen. That's the case, though it could be that it's a great sin, depending on the nature of why it happened. But if you then live throughout the year, it's not going to be any proof that you have the great zechuyos that you're going to be a ben olam haba. If this carrying was this type of siman, then it would go ahead and be some type of sign that you're a ben olam haba. Isa b'svarim de'ikar tikun l'misha nichtal chas v'shalom b'zeh. What could you do in this farm if something like this happens? Yischazek mikadal haba b'mechayah v'limad atayra. You should be mechazek in the future. If limad atayra, uzchus atayra talking about, uzchus atayra will protect you. Kedisa b'midrash imchata adam v'nischayim misa l'shamayim mayaseh v'yichya. Again, you're in a situation where seemingly you have reason to believe, for whatever reason. Again, we're not talking about where the carry came because you did anything wrong, but just a siman that you needed a tshuva for some other chait, and yichayim misa l'shamayim. So what should you do to be yichya? So you should go ahead and you should be mechazek in the future, believe in Torah, and the schus of Torah will protect you. Ukadisa the midrash imchata adam v'nischayiv misa l'shamayim ma yaseh v'yichya. If you were chayte and you were chayiv misa l'shamayim, what should you do? In lamud l'shnois perak echad yishne shnei prakim. If you learn one parak normally, learn two prakim. In lamud l'shnois daf echad. If you normally learn one daf, yishnesh ne daf, learn two dafim. In any of the mode, if you don't know how to learn, yisasek adol ponim v'midas hatzdaka, involve yourself in chesed, in tzedakah, v'chesed, v'yichya, and you'll live, k'mosh nema, roideh tzedakah v'chesed, yitzah chayim tzedakah v'chava, yishav v'midrash. V'ikah limin ha-Torah, yiyeh almanas l'kayim. And your limin ha-Torah should be focused on not purely theoretical, but also that you're going to follow the Torah, that lo mei v'inam makayim, someone who learns, and he's not makayim the Torah, noach lo shalom nivra, k'mosh amru chazal, better that he wasn't born. Right? Your learning Torah has to be almanas lasais. And for sure, it won't be protected. If you're learning, and it's purely an intellectual experience, not to change you, not to change the way you act, both in terms of following what you learned, if you're learning things like Mbiyomi and Halacha, and you don't follow it, then what good is it? And for sure, even in regular Limud HaTorah, when you're learning Lamdas and Gemara, it basically means that, you know, that you're now a Lamdin, and you're learning, and you're involved in it, and if you don't go ahead, and you don't keep the mitzvahs, but you learn, and you don't makayim the mitzvah, what's the Torah? It doesn't change you. If Torah doesn't change you, then what is it worth? Finally, Sif Katan Dalid, you'll be muftach to be a ben olam haba, shevavada yesho zechuyos harbe, she'egenu olav, because for sure, you'll have great zechuyos to protect you, v'u'yarech yomin, and you will have a long life. You see Zera, you'll have long days. And it's worthy to give praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They've given life from Shemayim, Karban Esanel, this is the Karban Esanel, the end of Yuma, Os, Ayin Zayin, Ayin Sham, Hanusach. Check out what he says. Ayin Sham, Ashikasav, Bikaidem, and B'Shem Ari, and see what he writes earlier in the name of the Ari. Now that we've gone through this halacha, it should become clear that people don't really have a good understanding of this concern of seeing keri at night. We had seen earlier that a person should not eat foods that might bring one to keri, and if you remember, the Mishnah Berurah there said the reason is because you can't be tovel on Yom Kippur. It's not because of this concern. This concern is when the keri comes just as a siman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the poskim today say, this is the Tzemach Tzedek, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that this halacha here applies only to someone who's mamish, a gadol, a tzaddik, who pashtis, he has no other hirhurim that lead and could lead to this. In fact, the Tzemach Tzedek brings up that a person who's super afraid that this will happen and that he'll see Keri, that itself might trigger Keri like Hirhur. So it's saying a person should not freak out if it happens. A person should not, you know, go crazy again. You should do what the Shulchan Aruch says, because again, you know, we don't want to have keri, and that, yeah, that's in fact why we're tovel on Erev Yom Kippur, the keri that we might have had and things like that. But in terms of this concern that you're not going to make it through the year, it's not something that anyone practically on our level has to be concerned with. Emet Hashem, you will one day be on that level that it would be a concern if it happened. But, you know, Emet Hashem, it should never happen to anyone when you get on that level. Just one other important halacha that we saw here, that one is supposed to go ahead and follow the halachos of Nida, and the Mishnah Berurah pointed out that we should follow the parameters that one follows with a Nida. And the truth is, when this issue is mentioned in Yeridaya that he mentions, so the Shach explains that the Isser of excessive Dibur between a man and his wife that should be avoided is dafka limited to discussions that could lead to intimacy during Nida. But you could have a serious discussion with your wife during Nida. So according to the Shach there by the Hilchas Nida, it's only something that you have to avoid when you're talking about excessive joking and lightheaded conversation. So seemingly the same applies on Yom Kippur as well. However, the Matei Ephraim says that on Yom Kippur, though, one should not have excessive conversation, even regarding mundane matters, due to the Kedusha of the day, regardless. Ad kan velo yoiser.